Well, I found something the other day, or my mom found something. She doesn't know she found it. She has a dementia, it's kind of getting a little worse, but she was going through her purses, and that's something interesting about a woman that's 91 years old. She still wants all of her purses, and I got one, two, or thought one would be good. No, I know I've got more, so I brought the other one, and then the third one and the fourth one, and I think it's the fourth one. I never went through, you know, even having them in my house, I didn't go through mom's purses. I just thought, whatever's in there. But anyway, so one of them, she pulls this out of one of her purses and gave it to one of the ladies there that helped her around there at the memory place. And it says this. At exactly 4:42 p.m. on Wednesday, February the 4th, Reverend and Mrs. Grubbs became the proud parents of a fine baby boy. He weighed 8 pounds, 1.5 ounces at birth and has big dimples in each cheek. I don't think they're still there. The baby has been named Martin David, and Dolly is doing extremely well and is due to be out of the hospital by Monday for sure. It is doubtful that the pastor will recover fully for at least a month. Dr. Keesaw has diagnosed his ailment as father-itis, a disease which is characterized by verbal exaggeration and a swelled head. Your pastors express sincere thanks to each one of you, wonderful people, for your concern, prayers, and generosity during this thrilling time. May God bless you. And this was read in church on, I guess, right through February 4 or 5, whatever it was, in 1959. And so mom found it, the original here, and I've got it, and just proves that I was born and that I was born in Tennessee. And it was perfect timing for that little note to be found. Because what's on my mind lately is Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Teach us to number our days, is what it says in the NIV. And I've had opportunities lately to be thinking about numbering our days. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And that verse becomes pretty special to you when you have friends who are critically ill, when you've been to 4 or 5 funerals lately, and several of those funerals were people under the age of 60, some in their 60s or 70s, friends. It's a weird season. I've just kind of arrived, even though I'm late to that party. So I listen to the radio. In my car, the radio's always on, and I'll do XM radio. And there's one XM radio station. It's No Shoes Radio. And it's Kenny Chesney's thing, and Chesney's always in a boat, always on a beach, always it's always around water, and they've got people dancing, all kinds of things. I mean, I'm listening to this. You can't see it, but I'm listening to it, you know. And it's just a lot of fun, and it makes me really want to go to the beach. And so, Kenny Chesney sings these great songs, and there's other artists that sing some songs, and I'm particularly two that I've become fond of. Tim McGraw wrote a song called "Live Like You Were Dying," and in the phrase, the chorus, so to speak, says this. So he's, what would you do when you get that kind of news? What would you do? That you let me back up. The whole verse kind of talks about getting the news that this might really be the end of your life and how it hits you. And when you get that news, what do you do? And here's what he says. I went skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, 2.7 seconds on a bull, and I loved deeper, I spoke sweeter, I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Great words. It's a bit of a morbid song, but I think that's what the psalmist is saying to us. Teach us to number our days. We don't know how many we get. We better treat them right. Take them serious. Another great song from Toby Keith. It's a great song. It's called Don't Let the Old Man In. I really like that song, by the way. And it's a great, and I think maybe one of the last ones he wrote and recorded and sang. But there's a phrase in this song where he says this: ask yourself how old you would be if you didn't know the day you were born. I think it's a great question. Ask yourself, how old would you be if you didn't know the day you were born? Great questions. Another great song that I've enjoyed since it was written a couple of years ago, I think. Larry Gatlin, Bill Gaither wrote a song, I Thought Getting Older Would Take a Lot Longer Than It Did. And it's fun hearing him sing that. It's a great song. Of course, all this country music I've learned, you know, I wasn't a big, early on in my years, I wasn't that big a fan of country music, but it's different kind of than it used to be, and it's great, and I'm really enjoying the country music. And with this hair, they put me in the Opry right away in Nashville, I'm sure, because I looked like I belonged there. So I'm working on it. Psalm 39, verses 4 through 7. Show me, Lord, my life's end. Number my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. Everyone is but a breath. Even those who seem secure, in vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it finally will be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Psalm 90 is one of the oldest pieces of literature in the Bible. Written by Moses, clearly he was thinking about the future and his own life. And he says basically in these verses in Psalm 90, he says this. First of all, he says God is eternal. That's what he's telling us. God is eternal. Verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 90. Lord, you've been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you were brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses certainly understood the immortality of God. Remember, he was the one who asked God his name. When they asked me who sent me, Moses said, what shall I tell them? And God replied, tell them I am who I am. God always was, always is, and always will be. God has no beginning or ending. God simply is. He's eternal, and by the way, we're not capable of wrapping our brain around that one, figuring out or trying to prove the days or how many might be we have left, even fully understanding it. We just believe it. God is God. He's eternal. And the second thing we're being told in Psalm 90 is reminded that we're temporary. I mean, I don't like to discourage people at church, but let's just face some reality for a minute. We are temporary. Psalm 90, verses 3 to 6, I'll paraphrase it here. It says, you turn men back to dust. You turn us back to dust. It'll get better. We'll pick up our spirits here in a minute. Every now and then, when I have a car getting serviced, the dealer's over on Kelly. We live 1 mile east of the car dealerships, and I'll walk. It doesn't happen very often that I walk, but you know, it's either that or that you can't get your car serviced, you know. So I decided one day I would drive the car over, and then I would walk back. So you leave the car dealership, because I love car dealerships. I could spend a lot of time there just looking at cars. But I have to cross the street to get back over the mile to Eastern. And it means I have to go through one of the largest seminaries. That was... Whew. Cemeteries. There are some churches and seminaries that are not as exciting as the cemetery, okay? It happens. But I'm walking through the cemetery. It's really good. At first, I mean, nobody else is out there. Well, you know, not that that matters, but it just felt a little creepy for a minute. I'm cutting through. I didn't think it was okay to cut through walking across certain things, I guess, on top of graves or whatever, reading tombstones with quotes. That was fabulous. But that is always something that just is a good reminder. One, it reminded me of some of the people I dearly love who are there. Their name is on the stone. But it's always a wake-up call. Our day's coming. We just hope it's a long, long way away. And that's perfectly normal. God is eternal. We're temporary. And life is difficult. That's Psalm 90, 7 through 11. Remember, Jesus said this in John 16:33. He said, in this world, you're going to have trials of many kinds. And when people ask me sometimes, why would God cause this to happen to me? Or why is this happening to me? I've been a good person, or I've gone to church, or I accepted Jesus as my Savior 50 years ago. Or others might say, I eat healthy and I've tried to take care of myself. Why is this happening to me? I get that question a lot. I'm sure you do too. And I always will say, I'll use this verse in John 16:33. All I know, I don't know the why. But I do know that in this world, Jesus said, we're going to have trials of many kinds. It comes with being human. God's eternal, we're temporary, life is difficult. Psalm 90 reminds us that it's fragile, and we don't know how many days we get. So why worry about it? Make them count. John Ortberg has a great quote. He'll be here in a couple of weeks. But this quote, he says this, American society is filled with ideas and values and pressures and temptations about success and security and comfort and happiness that we will not even notice unless we withdraw on occasion. So we can notice the great gifts God has given us all around us. Certainly, the world he has made. God is eternal. We're temporary. Life is difficult. So what's the benefit of numbering the days? John closes his quote out by saying, I'm begging you today to carefully evaluate how you spend your time. In Psalm 90, if it does anything, it warns us to not go through life counting the wrong things. Make the most of your day. Make the most of each day. Make this day count. And why go one more day holding a grudge? Why go one more day living completely consumed with yourself and your desires? Why go one more day without doing whatever it takes to protect a relationship? Why go one more day being stingy when you have the means to change a future by being generous? Refusing to number our days, folks, it's stressful. Why spend one more minute without focus or vision or goals or excitement about what you see in the future or perhaps a plan you're depending on God bringing to reality? So what are the benefits of numbering our days? A couple of things. One, we approach the future differently. We just do. We truly want to be people. We say we want to be people that live by faith. Living by faith means we can do our very best with what God has given us to work with our talents, our skills, our abilities, our money. We can do that. Those are things we can do. But there's so much about life that we just need to trust God. We need to lean into him, accept the love he wants to give us, the forgiveness he wants to bring us. We lean into him. We approach the future differently. What would happen if we approached the future of our marriage differently? What would happen if we approached the privilege of raising kids differently? What do you want your family to look like in 5 years, in 10 years? Tired of just consuming and ready to give and serve? Go for it. See what God will do. We have to approach the future differently. What is God wanting to do through you and me that he needs us and desires for us, doesn't probably need us to, but he desires that we find out what it's like to bring our best, to find out how he rewards and honors when we bring our best to whatever we're walking into. So we spend our days, we approach the future differently. Secondly, the benefits of numbering our days, we spend the days more wisely. How are you spending your days? How serious are you about knowing God and doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with him? What do we do with our days? It's been probably 10 years ago, and I found it in my files this week, and I thought, I'm going to check this out. The original article I read in a sermon, probably 10 years ago, I think, was about the a group called the Dull Men's Club. And it was a big write-up in Wall Street Journal. And so I thought, I wonder if that ever became something. I wonder if that's still around. Well, it is. I got online and I found it. And I had to sign up my email, and now I'm a part of the Dull Men's Club. I did it. I want those emails. I can't imagine what they're like. But I did print out the requirements to be in the Dull Men's Club. So what is the Dull Men's Club? It's a place for dull men and women who like to be with dull men and women and feel at home. To be comfortable, free from pressure, be in, and to be trendy. We avoid glitz and glam. We enjoy safe excitement. What is that? Safe excitement. Oh, and the question, then number two, is it okay to be dull? Yes. A main purpose of the Dull Men's Club is to assure members it's okay to be dull. Next question, what is safe excitement? Here's the answer. Watching paint dry. Oh, see if I can keep reading this. But there's more. Watching grass grow. Watching ice melt. Listening to the corn grow. And watching wood warp. Oh, is the DMC the Dull Men's Club? By the way, they now welcome women into the club. Who would do that? But is the Dull Men's Club a movement? No, we prefer to stay put. And one more. I got to quit. Okay, one more. Is the Dull Men's Club one of 12-step programs trying to get men to change? No, dull men avoid change. We are a step program, but we only have two steps in the Dull Men's Club. One, we admit we are dull, and two, we're going to keep it that way. So it exists. And how many people, I mean, all joking aside, and they know it's funny, and they poke fun at themselves, the websites, it's interesting, of course. But why would we want to live, truly live? I mean, no joking about it. Why would we want to, on purpose, be dull people? Because God has given us an opportunity to use every day we have more wisely. And let's approach that day with excitement. Let's approach the day asking God, what do you want from me today? What is it that you would like me to do? What is it you would like for me to become? Matthew 6:33, what good is it for a man to gain the world, which we spend a lot of time and money and effort chasing? But what good is it for a man to gain the world but lose his soul? Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will be given to you as well. You've got a choice. We have a choice to make. We can seek him first. Let him number our days. He's already got them numbered, but let him guide us through an approach or to a day we don't even know when it's coming. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote in a book years ago, our souls are not hungry for fame, comfort, wealth, or power. Those rewards create almost as many problems as they solve. Our souls are hungry for meaning. We want our lives to mean something. We want our lives to matter, and we do. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit. And there was a phrase that I shared in that message. Talking about the Holy Spirit turns our theology into experience. And the point there was, we know a lot, but do we really experience the full opportunity of what we know? And it's easy to go through life just with good knowledge. We know so much, but what our problem is really, whether you're a believer or not, churchgoer or not, part of our problem is we believe a lot of things, we just don't do anything about them. We don't turn our knowledge into experience. What do we do with what we know? And God is giving us something to think about. So we number our days. We approach things differently. We use our days wisely. And if we do those first two things, the third one falls into place. We gain wisdom. There's nothing to lose. Let me tell you, this is a 100% guarantee. It's a promise, and I don't have any doubt. God keeps this promise. God keeps all promises. So God will keep this promise too. But I have no doubt. We just seem to let God, we seem to want to tell God what we want him to do and what we think, and it's okay to ask. But there comes a moment in life when are we going to do what he's already asked us to do? The things he wants to do in our life, the way he wants to use whatever we have, the way he wants to use us to maybe encourage somebody else. Maybe he wants to use us to become a friend of someone who doesn't have one. Maybe he wants to use you to change the trajectory of your family. It can be done. Everything I'm saying here is doable. It's right out of the Bible. It is doable. There's not another verse at the end of Psalm 90 going, well, good luck. We gain wisdom. We spend our days differently. We approach the future differently. Henry Nouwen once wrote, it was a great book. One of the first, first books I ever read was taking a class over at Southern Nazarene University 20, 30 years ago. It's a great book. And here's what he says. In the spiritual life, the word discipline means the effort to create some space in which God can act. I think numbering our days, and no one wasn't writing about this, but I thought of this quote, in the spiritual, the word discipline means the effort to create some space in which God can act. Discipline means to prevent everything in your life from being filled up. Discipline means that somewhere you're not occupied and certainly not preoccupied. In the spiritual life, discipline means to create that space in which something can happen that you hadn't planned on or counted on. That's the beauty of what God can and will do in our lives, if we'll let him. James 3:17 says, the wisdom from above is first of all pure, peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others, full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and always is sincere. Colossians 2:3, in Christ lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Jesus was wise and realized even his human form could not do all the things everyone wanted him to do. Why do we try to do everything everybody wants us to do? And maybe that needs to be done. Maybe it's just for a moment or a season. But the truth is, we do a whole lot of things. We do a lot of things because we think that's what we should do. Or we want to try to lead someone else to believe we're not who they think we are. People-pleasing is a terrible, tragic disease. Wisdom is more valuable than rubies. Even Jesus, even God's son in flesh, in Mark 6:31, said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. And he said this, it says, because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. Do you know that Jesus did miraculous things with people? We read about it in the Gospels, certainly. But do you realize there were scores of people in line hoping to get to him, but they didn't. We kind of talked about it at Pentecost. Jesus was trapped in a human body. His power was limited to that human body. That's why Pentecost, that's why he sent his spirit, because he told his disciples, then I can be with you everywhere. I can be in you, I work through you. So I guess I would leave you with this. Focus on what matters. Teach us to number our days. Example, prayer, start the day. First thing you do when your eyes open, acknowledge, God, you've given me another day, thank you. God, I've got a lot of plans today. Do a little reality check in my mind at some point this day, God, if there's something I'm doing that's a waste of time. People, let's get rid of this hurry sickness, which diminishes our capacity to love and value others. Think about purpose. Slow down and focus. What's God wanting to do through you? And it may be starting with you and into your own family. And it may be in a classroom. It could be at a church. It could be in a small group. It could be in the aisle of the grocery store. Focus on what matters. And I'm as guilty as anybody in all of these rooms, folks, of catching myself through the years at times doing something that honestly really didn't matter. And you know what? I would love to have those days back. But you don't get them back. All you do is you get a chance to get it right with whatever time's left. I'm banking on 20, 30 years. Now, I've got my mom's genes. I may not know anything in 25 years or 30 years. This week, she was calling me about 15 to 19 times a day. So I'm going to pay that forward to my kids when I'm there. Okay, morbid thought. Focus on what matters and let's be fully devoted to the way maker. His name is Jesus. And if we will do what he tells us, if we will number our days, it says we will gain a heart of wisdom. Of all the Ten Commandments, which God used the word most, you know what it was? Was it adultery, stealing, murder? Nope. He used the most words commanding us to rest, to remember him, and to focus on him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. And in this day, we may find ourselves. We may find him. Matthew says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. I love a paraphrase of Philippians 3:10, and I'll close with this. It's a paraphrase of Philippians 3:10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of him. I'm going to close us in prayer as we do every week, and our prayer teams and pastors will be in the front of all the rooms, and we encourage you, if you have something you would like to share, if you have a need you'd like to be prayed with about, please allow us the privilege to join with you in prayer. It may have nothing to do with what was said today, but it may have everything to do with something that's just heavy on your heart. Don't carry it alone. Allow us to be there and speak some joy or some peace, some comfort to you if that would be helpful. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your love for us. How we thank you, Father, for this Bible that is both ancient and it's modern. It's reliable, Father. It's relevant. And these ancient words we have looked at in Psalm 90, they still pack a punch. Thank you, Father, for those words. We need those words, and we need to hear them over and over and over again. So, Father, I pray, starting right now, a lot of us would decide, let's treat this day more special than we had in mind. Let's number this day, because it's the day that you have given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.